We're rolling.
Hey man, this is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Cushy Cush, Gadfly.
This is the Dr. Hindhead. And you are experiencing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a trip back into the early to mid-90s and to one of my favorite and I think all-time great directors, Stuart Gordon's masterpiece, Space Truckers.
Attention, all personnel. The room is sealed.
Set your weapons for close range!
In the year 2196.
Just lost contact with Command Post 3 outside the second perimeter.
It's right outside!
Someone has developed the ultimate destructive force. All they need is a man who'll deliver.
What have you got?
It is a rush shipment to Earth.
No questions asked.
We'll do it.
Geez, I've never seen trailers like these before. They look,
creepy.
Power down, Canyon.
It's coming! Look out!
You gotta tell us how to stop these things.
Dennis Hopper, Stephen Dorff, and Debbie Mazar.
Fire it up!
Space Truckers.
1996. Space Truckers is about a couple of space truckers and a girl. And they got a cargo, and shit happens, and then shit happens. All right. So, starring Dennis Hopper, we've got Stephen Dorff. Dennis Hopper plays John Clayton, Stephen Dorff, and then we have Debbie Mazur as Cindy. Stephen Dorff is, what is it, Mike? I have his name here somewhere. Marcus Macaroni or something like that. Macaroni. Well, we just call him
Macaroni.
Macaroni, Stephen Dorff. So, with this movie, what I would like to do is just kind of start at the beginning and we'll just start going through it and talking about how this thing is constructed and how it's a total Stuart Gordon movie and still like hangs out in the 80s. Comes back into the 90s. So we start out with a cold open, right? We don't get any credits. We don't have, we're just cold open. We're dropped into a scene. What is that scene? Anybody want to jump in there and describe the scene at the beginning?
I can't remember the first scene.
Okay, so the opening is you're at a base and they're being attacked. You don't know what's attacking them.
Oh,
You know,
right.
all these drills to kind of fortify the base itself, and then they're monitoring what's going on outside.
Yeah.
So we have the guy who's the boss, and then we have the mad scientist that's there, supposedly helping him out to, you know, defend against whatever it is in this that's coming at them. So what eventually happens? What do you find out about
Well,
this?
there's that blackmail aspect, or not blackmail, betrayal aspect. You know, this is going to be great, but yes, but you know about it, what's going on. You've seen the this death and destruction. Sorry, you're going to have to go down too.
Yeah, Charles Dance is the mad scientist, right? We've seen him from Last American Hero, is it, or whatever?
Yeah,
And then he's also Lannister, Tywin Lannister from from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So we see the scene, and if you watch the scene, the way it's shot, you see him as the mad scientist doesn't seem to be worried. And they're like, should we do something yet? And he's like smiling, and he's just teleplay, you know, telegraphing. He's telegraphing the whole thing.
There's something going on,
right? And then everything starts to go haywire outside, and then something happens with the door. It melts, right? And what comes through the door?
Indiana Jones.
No.
The cyborg.
It's his son, Shia LaBeouf.
Cyborg LaBeouf.
Yeah, it's the cyborg.
He jumps in and he goes, "You've been LaBeoufed."
And the cyborg proceeds to zap that one guy.
The cyborg comes in and just kills all of the soldiers, just blows them into bits. And you don't get to see them blow apart. All you see are their legs falling over. They're keeping it real, within budget.
Their homage to
practical effects.
Yeah, to RoboCop without the money, you know?
Yeah, it is. But for a low budget movie, that the design and the way they got those suits to work with those robots were pretty fucking cool. I thought so. Very good design. So the robot comes up to the leader and puts its like gun in his face or something like that. And Charles Dance has a little remote control, and he clicks on the button and it freezes.
Yeah.
And that's when you find out this was all a drill, but nobody knew it was a drill but those two.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to create these kill bots, right? And it would be great if we had 700 of them. And he's like, "I'm sorry, sir, we've got 6,000.
Yeah.
And then the leader's like, "You got to go. No strings, you know." So she just blows him away. And that's when we get into the space truckers, right? We've got that great symbol that almost looks like a Star Trek. Because it's got the triangles and stuff with the A in it. And then we move into seeing Dennis Hopper, right? In his truck.
Eating hot dogs.
Isn't that a great scene, though?
Puts the mustard out in the zero gravity and then sticks his hot dog up into it. I thought that's great. That's awesome.
Yes. Love that part. And I love the fact that when he did the mustard, I thought he was putting it on the windshield. And I'm like, what is he doing that for? And then the hot dog comes up and I'm like, oh, of course, zero gravity. This mustard.
Yeah.
So when he's coming in along what almost looks like a road, right? Because they've got like these pylons. For science fiction, how would you justify those? Is those just, you know, that's a clear path and that's why they would have them from one place to another?
Yeah.
Or are those like guides that guide you into the actual space station?
I think he was getting ready to line up to which one to like unload his cargo, I think.
Right.
Yeah. That was the thing.
Purely a cinematic effect.
Yeah, it was really cool. But then
in real life you wouldn't need that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that it looks good.
Looks good in a film. Yeah.
In a film.
But then they attach, you know, as they get further closer, they attach billboards to them.
Yeah.
Right. So there's all these. Here's where I thought there was a missed opportunity. Those billboards weren't that funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I kept going back and looking at them to see if I was missing anything. And I think there were two of them that were almost funny. You know, it's like one was Einstein relativity gauges.
Okay.
A little clever. Liquid beef.
I remember the liquid beef. Yeah.
And then circle.
That reminded me. There's another movie that we watched liquid beef in it. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
Well, then the last one was circle dog. So it was a hot dog that was circular, and he just gives it that look, which I thought was funny because he just ate a regular hot dog. You know?
Yeah.
He's old fangled. He's old fashioned. He's not. Doesn't like the new stuff.
Yeah,
that's also the name of his rig.
Yeah. You know? What was the name of his
rig? Pachyderm.
That's the
Pachyderm. Like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was the type of truck it was too. Was the type of truck.
Pachyderm.
Yeah.
But so then he's bringing in what is he bringing in? Who's he working?
Square pigs. Easy to slice. You know.
Right. Yeah, but what do they buy it? What do they call that? They call it interpork or something like that.
Yeah, interpork. Interpork. At first, I thought my subtitles, are they wrong? Interpork, is that what he's saying? Interpork. Otherwise, oh, he's it's not here. Okay, it is pork. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So he's So Dennis Hopper is this typical rebel trucker. He doesn't work for any company.
He's an independent.
Yeah, he's independent. And so he arrives late with his load of pigs. He gets into a beef with
Norm.
George Wendt.
Yeah, that's right.
Who has a very short role.
He gets into a pork with him.
He gets into,
he doesn't have beef.
No beef.
He squashed the beef. He's out of pork now.
No, but it was because he had a liquid beef with him.
That's right.
It was messy, but it resolved itself quick. The so he, and this is where they establish where Stuart Gordon is about morality plays as well. Just like that last movie we watched, Paprika, he sets this up where it's the individual against the man, the corporation, and it's very, very simple stuff.
Yeah, because he was 2 days late with his cargo.
Yeah.
And so he's going to kind of only give him one quarter of the price that he promised.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that ain't going to happen. No, that ain't going to happen.
I kept waiting for the Humphrey Bogart accent to kick in.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because he refuses and he says he's just going to, go and he'll keep them and he's going to take them to some other place, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, I love the fact when George Wendt comes with his two goons to take over the place and Dennis Hopper's there and Dennis Hopper, the guy takes a swing at him and Dennis Hopper clocks him and he goes flying end over end because it's zero G.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That ain't the way to throw a punch in zero G.
Yeah, that's the way you throw it. But I love the fact that you could see the wires. Mm-hmm. The guy's humbling and the wires showed up like twice, you could see him and I'm like,
they're like, we're not going to CG that out. Nope. We got it. It looks all right.
Yeah. I don't think there's hardly any CG in this whole movie.
Yeah.
Most of that is all practical effects.
It's like it's all practical.
Yeah. Which I really appreciated, other than some of the outside.
Some of the builds of it are pretty good, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the outside stuff, I'm not even sure about that. I think some of that might be 3D, which is like a space truck or something like that, but I have no idea.
That could be.
But most of the practical effects are really cool in this movie. But anyway, he hits that. And I just love that they show the wires in there, and you're like, this is what it's all about here. But then what happens is he goes to the cafe or whatever it is.
Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Locks his truck up, goes to the cafe, and we meet Cindy. And man, I can't remember what his name. I had it written down here too.
Mike.
Yeah, Mike. That's right. Mike. I wasn't sure if it was Mark or Mike, but he's got some, like, he says his last name once, but it doesn't matter. But he meets both of them. Mike is a corporate trucker, right? He's working, he just got his first assignment for that. And he's hitting on Cindy, who's the waitress, who's Debbie Mazur.
Mazur.
Yeah. Where have you seen her before?
My cousin Vinny.
Was she My Cousin Vinny? I don't know. I can't remember that one.
She was in a lot of things.
I remember her most because she was Vinny's press agent on Entourage.
Oh, that's right. That's
she was
right.
Constantly pissed off at him.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And she's just great at being pissed
she's
off.
She's good at that. Yeah.
Ball buster, yeah. She was like the female Ari,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was in some big movies. I mean, Goodfellas.
Yeah.
The Doors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Malcolm X. Yeah.
She's been around.
Yeah.
She's been around. But anyway, Dennis Hopper kind of creeps on her and likes her and wants her to marry him. And then there becomes like this kind of weird, like little love triangle because, Stephen Dorff, Mike or whatever, also likes her. And I think it's funny how they resolve that conflict very quickly. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of jealousy, but he doesn't have this like giant rivalry with Stephen Dorff's character. There's these little things that happen, but it seems to just kind of resolve itself very quickly in the story, which I like.
Without being overly sentimental.
Right.
Because the movie, it's not a romance. It's just one of the many things it does.
Right. Yeah. I
mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, but he also says, you know, hey, yeah, look who she is. Yeah. Yeah, you know. Yeah. His whole performance in this movie is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he plays almost kind of like a bumbling or feeble, and then he's also like then Mr. Gung-Ho, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you have any more of those guns? I don't even know if this one works. So yeah, they're in the cafe now. Then what happens while they're there talking?
Well, we know that Cindy wants to go to Earth. She needs to go, and then they get a deal.
Yeah,
but I don't remember what happened.
The deal is that if I get you to Earth,
get married, you'll marry me, right?
You'll marry me, and then she shows her. Why do you have to go to Earth? I got to see my mom, and she shows a picture of her mom, and who is it? Barbara Crampton.
Oh,
yeah, Barbara Crampton from all the. She's been in almost every. Stuart Gordon movie, you know, so he always.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice.
I didn't know that.
Castle Freak. What's the one we watched with Herbert West in it?
Reanimator.
And then she's in The Beyond or whatever the other one he did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she's in a ton of his movies, even if it's just like this, which is a cameo. But if I saw that, I'm like, oh, Barbara Crampton. Well, even. Dennis Hopper goes, what does he do? He's like, oh, she's pretty fine.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
And he almost like forgets about her.
Yeah. That's pretty much true. Yeah.
It is. And then, I mean, he's still hooked on her and they've got their deal and stuff like that. And I think that's why like the rivalry between him and Mike is just really kind of tepid most of the time, you know. But anyways, he finds out that they're stealing his cargo, right?
Mm-hmm.
John, yeah.
And then they confront Steve Wendt and, or no, they don't do that. Steve Wendt and the two goons then show up at the wake for one of these other truckers.
Yeah.
You know, there was that whole other side story where you could see the people who worked for the company also getting pissed at the company.
Yeah.
So you knew there was just going to be this big, you know, sort of, or you thought there was going to be this big uprising.
Yeah.
So then what happens? There's a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Norm gets sucked ass out into space.
Yeah. See, I was going to do a quick takes on this. Mine was going to be like, oh, that's either, you know, that sucks butt or yeah, that's a butt chug.
That was a good scene.
It was. Yeah. Well, and then they were so horrified about what was going to happen to him. They looked like they're about ready to try to save him. And they're like, no, don't go near him now.
Yeah.
A little bit too late.
Yeah, a little too late. So he gets sucked out the airlock. And then they have to escape because now all of because those were company men. Now the police are after them. And so they escape by going into the women's room, right?
Oh, yeah. And get yelled at.
They open up the door and they get yelled at by an old lady. But what is the old lady?
It's really a robot that was set there, and he opens her head up and it turns into the Batcave, entrance to the Batcave.
She dials it in and it just lowers them down into, mm-hmm. and it's basically taking them in to see a fence, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Or a handler, you know, or a fixer mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All of the above.
All of the above. Yeah. So he's down there to try to pick up a load that he can take to Earth. And he says, yeah, I've got one, but it's pretty dicey. And what is the cargo that he has to be transporting?
Sex dolls.
Yeah.
They even describe them hyper silicone sex dolls.
Yeah.
Some weird language they use in there. The other thing that I want to go back to is, did you guys recognize the voice? What is it? Bitchin' Betty of the truck? The truck's female AI.
I didn't know.
Yeah, well, she does all kinds of. She was, I had her name down here. Sandra Dixon is her name, but she was Trillian in the 1981 BBC Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Remember that really bad Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? That was on BBC. She's played Trillian on that.
Oh, really?
I did watch those, you know, just for the sake of watching them.
Yes. Historic reasons.
Yeah, and the story, they stick to the story really well. It's just like the whole Zaphod Beeblebrox with the head on his shoulder. So bad.
Yeah. That's British TV, though, you know?
Oh, yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What does he do? After they get with the fixer, they get the cargo, right?
Yeah.
And when they go find the cargo, they look at these and they're like, those are like military canisters. You know, those things are crazy. Anyway. And as soon as they leave, they're like, Mike goes, the cops are going to be right on you for leaving. You know what I mean? They're going to be all over you. And he's like, I got it handled, right? And so he's going out between all those pylons that are lit. And, you know, as they're trying to get up and trying to stop him, they're about ready to fire on him. He swerves with the truck, bings one of them at the end, and causes one of those pylons to create one of those, you know, like comical
chain reactions.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they get called back. Do not engage. Call back, you know. And that's when the guy goes, I love having a boss. So little lines in there that are all against the man. So they escape. And then what happens?
Well, they go where to the area that's controlled by the pirates.
But they don't know it's – oh, do they know it's that they were controlled by the pirates?
I don't remember.
I thought they did. I thought I thought they knew that they were going into that danger zone. I thought.
Right. Yeah, I may have missed that. It could be because they do run into the pirates. They get into the meteor field.
I've seen this only once.
It has that. You left out the whole sex part, didn't you?
Who had sex?
Almost. Mike and
Mike and Cindy. That's just before the pirates come.
Well, yeah, but he's out there fixing.
Trying to fix the damage.
And that laser, you know, the thing sticks up, looks at him, you know, foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm. Tries to kill him. Yeah. Yeah.
Because he tells him, well, go ahead. Now, then the pirates. We have the whole interlude. The quasi sex or faux sex, not even no sex scene,
it's
really.
It's important just for the setup so that they can both run around with half naked for the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what's his name? What's Dennis Hopper's character's name?
It is
Frank. No,
John.
John. Okay.
John Canyon.
After a while, he starts running around with, you know, looks like a dirty t-shirt and jockey shorts.
He's got that fucked up hat, too, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's a really weird hat. Looks like a welder's cap or something. Yeah. He wears it underneath his helmet. That's why it's shaped that way.
Yeah, so this is an excuse for them. They have this little almost sex scene, you know, between and Mazur, and because it's really hot in there, and it's because he didn't pay for the refrigeration unit, which was extra. I don't pay for extras. But he comes in and catches him and gets all kind of accusatory. But then they get attacked by pirates. You know? They don't have time to dress before they're boarded by the pirates.
I was so glad that because I got to see Mike run around without a shirt more. I was excited about that.
Well, and I like it. I'm like, this is definitely the 90s because he doesn't look like a fucking Adonis where he's all jacked up, you know,
right?
Like, standing off screen, like pumping iron and, you know, getting all Ryan Reynolds. but they're boarded by these pirates. That's when he finds the gun. Do you have a gun? do you have any more guns? He goes, I don't even know if this one works. You know, all that kind of stuff. But then he's like, it'll be okay. We're not, we don't want to shoot on him. You know, we don't want to go all cowboy.
Yeah.
And I think isn't it Debbie Mazur's character who's the one that tries to go through the door at him, you know, and after,
yeah.
and they have to pull her back. It's funny because the guy that comes through the door, I was looking at him like, he looks really familiar. The pirate that has the ponytail and he's got the scar on or the tattoo on his face. Do you guys know where he's from? He's been in a lot of stuff, but the most famous thing, he's an Australian actor. His name is Vernon Wells. That was Mr. Cut.
Oh, yeah. That name sounds really Vernon familiar. Wells,
he was in Mad Max.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the second one.
Yes, he was in the second one. He was
the gladiator guy, the big right?
He was the guy that was on the
motorcycle. Oh, the mohawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I didn't make that association.
I didn't realize that's who it was exactly, but I recognized him. I'm looking at him like I've seen him before because he's been in a bunch of different stuff. Yeah.
Well, I had like a time slip because when he came through, I thought, is that William Smith? Seriously. Then it was like instant, you know. Yeah. There's just something about him looked like, you know.
Yeah. Well, he has been in a Clint Eastwood movie, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get boarded, they get taken prisoner. They don't, you know, give a shit about anything, and they just want to get into the cargo. They want to know what's in the cargo, and they're like, they see on the manifest it says sex dolls, and they're like, nah, those aren't sex dolls. You know, they immediately know because of the armor. And so when they get brought in, they keep talking about their leader, and you've heard the name before. What is it, Mercado?
Macanudo.
Macanudo. Yeah, Macanudo. Yeah. Macanudo. Yeah. What's the significance of Macanudo, Dr. Head?
Well, there's a cigar brand.
There you go.
Macanudo. Yes. It's a very mild cigar from the Dominican Republic. It's quite overpriced.
That's what I was wondering. Well, and I think that's probably why they called him Macanudo.
I wondered about that too. It's a very deliberate name choice.
Yeah, he also has a cigar, pretty much.
Yes, I was hoping. Like, is this how they got their free cigars? They could call the character, buy the cigar. Like, we want cigars. Can you give us some? Yeah. Can you name the character after our brand? All right, maybe that's exactly what happened. That'd been awesome, Captain. Well, what Macanudo? What's the name, Macanudo? Paging Dr. Macanudo.
And if you noticed when they were flying in the beginning, they're flying in and there's the billboards. You did see Motorola and Jim Beam, and there was a couple of other ones. But I'm like, well, there's where a lot of their budget came from.
You know? That's right.
They went to him and said, we've got Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, exactly.
You would just want to put in Johnny Depp's performance as Ed Wood. We got the living legend. All we need is $5,000. Yeah, you can just see that that's how they got their budget.
So, who is Macanudo?
Well, he was the scientist from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Worked for the man, and he wants his revenge on the corporation. I don't say that.
I will have my revenge.
I don't say the soft. I don't say the hard G. Sorry.
He goes, but he tried to betray me, but he was not, or he said something, he goes, he tried to betray me, but he made the mistake of killing me in my own lab.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I was able to repair myself.
Yeah. I built my own mind or brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still smoking, right?
That was some nice prosthetics there, though, I have to admit.
Yeah, it looked good.
Those were pretty cool.
All the gurgling and the bubbling, like a bubbling brain cap. Yeah. Like, that's awesome.
Well, his whole left hand was a claw.
When his left leg was a peg leg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The most ridiculous looking creature
you could imagine. Awesome. Right. It was fantastic.
Because he's truly insane, you know?
He is, yeah. Well, and he comes down and he's about to kill all of them, you know? And so they're like, how do we torture them? And he gets a saw on one of his hands. He's got an attachment. It's a saw. And he's about to, he goes, is he going to saw my penis off or my dick off?
Yeah, my dick.
Mike does, because he's coming at Mike. And Dennis Hopper says something. And he goes, well, maybe I'll do yours. And he comes over there and he comes down at it. And he goes, maybe I should cut your dick off. And I have it written down here. Dennis Hopper's response is, if you're going to hack off my dick, do it. I'll change my name to Terry or Lee or something neutral. That ain't going to change what I know.
I remember that. And his delivery of it.
It's just... I know, yeah. He's outraged. That's why I said he's so outraged. Yeah, my delivery does not do it justice. So
yeah.
Yet another reason you should definitely see this movie.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. So in order to save them, Debbie Mazur says that she'll sleep with Macanudo. And Macanudo's like, okay.
I'll smoke that.
Okay.
Then we'll let you go. But they wanted to keep the cargo, I think, or something like that, whatever. And so they go off, and Mike has a problem with this because she's prostituting herself to do this. And John goes, this is not the first time. She has to do these kinds of things sometimes. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He's very nonchalant about it. And even she is like, you know, she's not in there whimpering or anything like that, you know. So when they get in there, he takes off his clothes, right? What is so absurd about when he takes his clothes off and then you see him without his jacket on?
What's so absurd?
His shoulder is so big on the arm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's
right.
No way he's fit under that jacket, at all, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. So, I just probably didn't notice that because I was laughing so hard.
I know, right? He's standing there and he's like, oh, yeah. All this stretched. And she's not even looking at any of that. She's looking at his groin.
Yeah.
And they do the classic shot where he's standing there, they cut to her, and she's looking up and she does the elevator eyes.
Yeah.
And he's like, I designed it to forgive women pleasure.
Yeah. Yes. And then he starts, he cranks it up like a chainsaw, right?
Yeah, he's like, pull one on it.
And it starts right away.
It starts right away the first time, yeah. And this is what he says. He goes, I emit a low amp electrical wang pulse designed to drive women wild with pleasure. And she's just sitting there going, can we just get to it? You're going to make me puke.
Yeah. Then it stalls.
Then it stalls. Yeah. And then he has to go tinker with it.
I didn't.
Right. That's good. He has to go tinker with it.
He has to go tinker with it, yeah. Not tinkle.
Yeah. I did. That's what I did.
So he's standing over there fixing it, and we're cutting back and forth between them and John and Mike, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to escape, and then they're going to get tortured again. And then this is at the same time that this is going on, they're trying to break into those canisters, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the first guy.
They tried it a little bit. You know, right. It was, you know, find out that they were super tough.
Yeah. And then they tried to start doing it again. And that's when that turret comes up and kills the one guy and then starts shooting all the other people.
Yeah.
And it kills a bunch of the pirates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that get zapped by that thing. But then they bring out some big laser doohickey. And they cut right
photon
through.
Photon pulse gun. Yeah. I don't know, whatever the hell that was.
It looked cool. I mean, it looked like a big, crazy thing. And they get it cut open, and they go in and look around, and they can't tell what's going on. You know, they don't understand what these things are that are hanging from them, and they've got like these electric ball sacks that are hanging there. And then so the mad scientist comes in, Macanudo or whatever.
Macanudo.
Macanudo, that doesn't roll off the tongue. Macanudo.
I'm going to start saying Macondo.
Macondo. Macanudo comes in and recognizes what they are. And then they figure out there's one missing. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now they've got this robot that's going to come out and start attacking him. But he's able to... is that one he subdues by clicking
on
the
he has thing? The device.
Yeah, the device.
Yeah.
But he's got to be near them. So they find out, he remembers the deployment sequence was going to be 1, then 2, then 4, then 8, then 16, you know.
Just doubled exponentially each time.
Yeah. And then just like, he's just going, this is what, so they're setting up what's going to happen, you know, at some point. And so then what happens?
What?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to remember what happens after that because I remember when it leads up to a certain point.
Well, the one robot comes out, right?
One robot comes out and starts killing a bunch of people. Then he gets it subdued, right?
Subdued. Yeah. Then the two come up, but they're starting to wake up because that's when they realize they can't do anything. The controller won't work until they're fully grown up or fully formed.
Right. That's
it. It was like the episode
of
Lost in Space, the android maker in the cave, which scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. And dropped the piece of dough down on the conveyor belt. I'm like, no, it's reminding me. Like, I'm getting these flashbacks. Like, no, it's gonna make it come together and come get you. Lost in Space.
Yeah, it's a good old Aliens vibe going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they go in there.
In a lot of ways, think of the way that's shaped and everything. So a lot of kind of alien influence there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Which I said, I think I like about his stuff is he doesn't take himself real seriously a lot of time, you know what I mean? But he'll have stuff that is actually really cool. I think the set design.
Especially the diner.
So, yeah. Because when he's walking in the diner, like you get the circle, like they are in the rotating. Like, it's like, I thought that was brilliant. It wasn't like over the top, but like, oh, you're inside of a circle, a donut set. That's where I'm at. Yeah. I thought it was beautiful, but it's like so garish and bright and colors. Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, we are in a hyper stylized, just like the Pachyderm, the literal truck that he's driving in space. It's like we're gonna just have that extra little fun. We're gonna kind of have that silliness about it.
Yeah. So, and it just continues. So, at some point, these robots get out of hand, and they decide to steal the truck back. So they escape. Because while this thing is killing everybody, Mazer comes down and gets the key off the half blown off Mr. Cut, and gets him off. And then they get into the truck and they get away. And it's good because they get away just in time before the whole ship blows up. You know, the whole pirate ship just goes. And the pirate ship looked really cool too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so.
It was always just these, you didn't see any like of the hull, it was just the lights. And the absence of space, you know, so it was like this silhouette, which I thought, I'm like, that's really good.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Something very, very inexpensively. But then it blows up, and then they hear banging in all of the different cars, right? And they're like, oh, man, what's going on back there? Well, here's what I didn't understand is they could have gotten back in there the whole time, right? Because they just opened the doors and went back and started walking amongst all those canisters.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do that before? Yeah. Maybe they can't. Because before he could get to the pigs from within that area. So I don't know.
Yeah. I never thought about that. Yeah.
Anyway, they're smart enough to put spacesuits on, right? Because they know there's a hole in the back, you know?
Yeah.
Or in one of them, and just in case. So they go back there, and what do they find? Macanudo is cut in half, laying there.
Oh, it's okay. And that's when he tells them what they got in the cargo.
That's what he says. You got this, and then he goes, "I have fire in my pocket." He makes him light his cigar, and that's what he's telling him about what's in there. And then he pulls that thing from around his neck, which is the thing that will freeze them, and gives it to them. And they're like, well, you know, we'll get you to your lab or whatever. And he goes, I'm done. I'm over with, you know, and he's like, says something. He smokes it and he just dies. Then it cuts to Dennis Hopper, who says, for a son of a bitch, gimp rapist murderer, he died. Okay.
That's all anyone can ask for. That's all anyone can
Yeah, so this is where it truly becomes alien, right? You know.
Yeah.
Because this is where they're stuck on the truck, and there's all these creatures, you know, wave after wave. You know, you're like, oh shit, what's next? Eight, holy shit, you know, and then you start counting them and stuff. And then, you know, I don't know how they did that. I don't know if there was like CG involved. They should reach.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they had a ton of those robots.
Yeah,
and they were crawling all over the place, and you know. we had that whole CG or that whole stop motion thing where the tentacles were coming out and holding.
Oh yeah, that was really cool, really effective.
Yeah.
And then how he blew up the head or whatever with I don't know, what was it, the fire extinguisher, he froze it.
Oh yeah.
Fire extinguisher. Yeah, but just the way they were doing all that. But at some point, the whole front windshield gets blown out, right?
Because
they come through the windshield.
Yeah.
And that's when the big fight just starts to ensue, and then they decide what they're going to do. So what do they decide? Who's taking the escape pod?
Well, Cindy and Mike go, and that's where, so Canyon could stay and you know, supposedly fix the problem.
Right. He was going to try to release the canisters from the truck and then ride the truck in.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And then that way those would burn up on reentry. And then he just before Mike and Cindy get into the escape pod, what does he tell them?
Oh, it's like, you don't have to marry me. I release you from that. Yeah, go.
He goes, that was kind of weird or whatever. He makes some statement about how
weird
it was that he was forcing her into doing something like that, which I thought was funny. The so they get released, and so they get into the escape pod, and he goes out and he's trying to unhook the truck externally. He tries to blow it up. He puts some explosives on there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, some of these alien robots or these kill bots come crawling over, and there's a big fight and all that kind of stuff. And I think he can't get it off, so he gets in the truck, right?
Yeah.
Rides the whole thing in. And even then, there's still kill bots clinging to the thing, you know, that we thought they were all dead, but no, the other 16 just came out, and you watch them burn up on reentry. But oh, we forgot the other cool part. So this is great, you know, again, great, just pulp science fiction writing, is when he's out there fighting the robots, you see the shuttle come up, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Backs up a little over where all the robots are congregated and just fires it off, you know. And I think Dennis Hopper says something like, going, good job, kid. You know? Yeah. You know, just totally, totally cheesy. But you get that part. And then he rides
back in.
Yeah. Yeah. He rides it back in, burns up the robots, you know, you think, and then
the green slime.
But then you see the truck blow up, and they're watching it from the ground. Mike, and they're like, oh, or he's going to make it. He's going to make it. Oh, he blew up, you know. And then he's screaming at him from a parachute, coming down, right? And I was thinking that's going to be the end. Did you think that was going
to? Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not.
No.
Now they're heroes, because they've saved it from some unknown invasion. And so they go to the hospital where Cindy's mom is. Right?
Yes.
And they're expecting to see just some old hag or whatever. And they pull back the curtain. And who is it?
Robert Crampton.
Linnea Quigley.
No, not Linnea. Come on.
Dolly Parton.
I like Linnea, but I think Crampton is the hottest of those scream queens.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, great. But it's her young. You know what I mean?
So yeah,
it's exactly like she did in the picture, and she explains that she's been in cryogenic sleep and all
that kind of stuff.
How was Walt Disney?
He was just a head.
That's right. Yeah, couldn't do much.
Yeah, and somebody said, oh, no, he was always ahead.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We flip him for decisions, but it always comes up heads.
Yeah. So they're there reunited, and Barbara Crampton is young, and Dennis Hopper is going, oh, hey.
Hey.
They have the love look where they just, you know.
Yeah.
And then the president comes in, and this is the guy from the cold opening. The leader guy comes in with a suitcase and tries to get them to hush up, you know. He's going to give them a new rig. Right. And this is where Dennis Hopper's like, just play along. Don't say anything, kid. Just play along. Let's just do it, you know. And the kids are like, no, I'm not working for the man. I'm not taking your money. They're amazing. And so he's going to get, you know, whatever they want. They're going to pay for the medical bills. He's going to get his rig. And then they're going to give a shit ton of money and something for, I don't remember what Mike was going to get. I think he was getting all the money. But it was a whole suitcase full of money, and they opened it, like, oh, that's a lot of money. And so they're like, fine, we'll do it. And then so the president leaves and goes back down to his car and gets into his car, and they're arguing up top about whether to keep the money. And somebody grabs it and throws the suitcase through the window. And what happens then?
Well, the president's talking on the phone. And then, in his car. And then the suitcase hits and then blows up.
Explodes.
It's him calling in the
hoisted
number.
Hoisted by his own petard.
He was detonating the bomb.
Yes.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he hits the button just as it hits his roof. Yeah.
Ah, even better. Yeah. Like, oh, Mr. President, because it was newly elected.
You know? Yeah. Because so the other one.
Yeah.
Because the corporation, the government has finally been privatized. Mm. It's about time.
Hypocrisy.
So then they, next thing you know, after the smoke clears, they got the new rig.
They got the new rig.
Yeah.
I thought they were using that lovely space shuttle footage, I think. Right. Putting stuff over top of it. Yeah. Like, oh, that's
pretty cool.
That's clever. That's good.
I thought that was pretty good.
But yeah, I'm always in for a Stuart Gordon movie, and I always like to go through his movies scene by scene, you know, just because the way he structures things is so, it's not like he's not trying to innovate, you know, but he uses very good techniques in editing and storytelling to tell a lot of, I think, sometimes interesting stories, you know, or interesting nuanced stories.
Right.
Just always peppered with these characters. I mean, just, you know, like all the ones that we were talking about before that he had done, The Beyond, you know, which is a little bit creepier. But then we have Herbert West in all of those movies. I mean, what a great character that is. Castle Freak. Have you guys ever seen Castle Freak?
Yeah. Back in the day.
Been a while since I've seen
it. And he did Robot Jocks.
Yes. Yeah, that was an HBO movie.
And it's
I remember seeing it, watching it on HBO. Yeah.
And it's another one where you can see that he really likes production design.
Yeah.
What you see on the screen is that what he doesn't do is he doesn't fuck around with cinematic lighting at all.
Yeah.
So almost everything is like evenly and well lit. You know what I mean? And I think it's because that way they can go quick. You know, there's not a lot of fussing with that kind of stuff. And at some point, it becomes part of the aesthetic, you know.
That's what that's how I look at it.
So.
Well, it maybe had to do something with the practicality of shooting for a video release. I don't know how things would have changed when you're, because things do look different from film to video, especially to DVD. Digital.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, but I don't know.
This was film release. Released in theaters. Yeah.
I remember seeing it when I worked at a video store. I remember seeing this come out and. And I read it. I'm like, oh, I got to see this one day. I don't think I ever did.
Yeah. I remember it was a time when me and my ex-wife would go to see a movie probably at least once a weekend. You know what I mean? Sometimes twice. So anything that would come out, and there was like a pretty huge variety back then. And this was one of them that we saw. Pretty cool movie. Yeah. And neither one of us hated it. And we're like, that was a good way to spend an hour and a half or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
it reminds me. And the look of it and the feel of it, it reminds me of something I would have rented in 10 years before this came out, like, you know, early mid 80s. That's what this movie or late, you know, feels like to me, like an 80s sci-fi movie that I would have rented. And that's one thing I loved most about it, that look of it, you know, because he was, you know, the same guy was doing movies back then, but he keeps the feel of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like you know, set design and stuff. Pretty ambitious, you know, for a low budget, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty ambitious. That's what I always thought their productions were always pretty good. And this one, it's like you said, this is a fucking comedy, you know. It's a science fiction comedy.
It's a spoof.
And, you know, spoof. It has a cartoony feel to it, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, which I liked. I thought, yeah, I think that's just pretty cool. And yeah, at the first, Dennis Hopper was like, when, you know, the first time I ever saw this movie, he kind of annoyed me. I'm going, this is not Dennis Hopper, you know, this is not. But you know, watching it, you know, again, I'm going, oh, the way he plays it is just, it's kind of understated, you know, almost his whole role is understated, but he has these great lines. But even then, think how he delivers those lines. Yeah. He doesn't really, they're delivered just kind of incidentally, you know, which I'm going, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah, I always saw him because he's not as bombastic as he can be or as intense
in
a lot of roles. He almost feels like the guy who is a lone trucker, you know. He's got no family. He's got nothing. What's his personality going to be like? You know, there's going to be a lot of talking to yourself, you know, and probably meeting whoever you meet on the road, you know, as opposed to that. So those people would be kind of weird.
That's his whole attitude toward a lot of the stuff, like especially like the romantic stuff, you know, and all that. That's kind of like, you know, hippiedom, you know, you know, free spirit. I guess would be what, you know, that's what he was. He was a free spirit. He really was, you know. Then,
keep on trucking.
Maybe that was like, free spirit. And he didn't really care for having lots of things, which is kind of ironic because that's what he did for a living. You know, he's transporting things, but he himself doesn't care for the things. You know, like I don't buy extras. I don't buy the optional stuff.
Yeah, I like
pretty good character.
I like the country music that they chose for it too. I'm not a big country fan, but that was actually decent country. I don't even know who it was, but the
song
at
the
beginning, and then they had one at the end, at the very end.
I don't know.
And I'm like, okay, that's, you know, that's good country. You know, this, you know, probably was something from the 90s. It sounded like the 70s, early 70s or something.
Yeah, I didn't really pay attention to it a whole lot because it was country.
Well, I'm glad you guys like that movie. I always have fun watching that movie.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say it was my first time seeing it. I'd never seen it. I actually, you know, never did. I thought I did, but I must be confusing it with another movie because, like, I turn it on, I'm like, oh, this is terrible. But no, this one was really a lot of fun and silly and everything you'd want it. You know, and it definitely has a VHS, like straight to VHS feel, which I really love. And I think it'd have been really fun to see it in the theater.
Yeah, it was fun. It really was. So I said, we had no idea what to expect. It wasn't one of those where you saw like trailers on TV. You know, you would hear about it. Yeah. And then, we just, again, it was one of those. I think it was even at the Dollar Theater. There used to be that theater. Spring Meadows, where all movies went to die, you know. So when they were done in the major theater, they'd go over there. And there would be probably a dozen different movies playing there.
Yeah.
You know, from the whole year back or whatever. So we would, we'd go there. We would go there sometimes and watch three movies.
Yeah.
Go watch a movie or two movies and then go eat and then come back and watch another movie.
For a buck, man. You couldn't beat it.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah.
Their money in the concessions, but, you know.
It worked. That keeps movie prices a dollar. I don't care if it's a year old. I'd go see Godzilla Minus One again in the theater. So I totally get it. Yeah. For a buck, of course.
Yeah. So my favorite part of this movie was Tommy Lee Jones and Clint Eastwood. I mean, they were so excellent in this movie that we just watched. That was Space Cowboys.
Gotta walk and take a dump.
I'm like, wait a minute. Did I miss something? No, I watched it.
I was doing a bit. A bit.
A little bit. I was doing a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
And you have been experiencing...
Radio. God damn it.
He did.
Unsane
but we're here
radio
anyway.
@gmail.com. Unsane Radio is on Facebook. Unsane Radio has unsaneradio.com. Unsaneradio.com.
Tarnfeather.com.
Don't go there yet.
maybe by the time this airs.
Drops. By the time this airs, maybe go there. Oh, Tar and Feather on YouTube. Sorry.
Yeah. And also on YouTube, we got the Heavy Metal Horror Podcast.
Podcast.
Montag Lewis and Heavy Metal Horror on Unsane Radio. And don't forget, We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ on the Facebooks. It's a family friendly webcomic about a group of circus children of circus freaks. It's delightful and warm hearted and funny.
And join the Midnight Gadfly on the lovely Maumee River to go gadfly fishing. Woo!
I want my mommy.
No, you'll want your money back.
Yeah.